Psalm 19, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge.
There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun,
which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race.
Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
For our deeds I have laid in gold, and in much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb.
Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults.
Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Excuse me. Okay, here in Psalm 19, we have one that's sung fairly often. And at least in that version of it, we're pretty familiar with it. It begins with an interesting section in the first six verses, where it talks about what's often called the common revelation, or the revelation that God has given to all men. It's a little more than that, but that's generally how it's taken, and that is the biggest part of it, where the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, or the sky, shows his handiwork. Where day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Every day and every night, there's something to be learned about God by looking at the skies, by looking at the day or the night. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Now, what we can take from these first four verses, of course, is that the glory of God is revealed in His creation. And we all know that as we see it. We see the things that God has made, and we know that there is a God. The third and the fourth verse here tells us that there's no place on earth where man is, where these things aren't seen. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, because they're not human speech. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. All men have these markers of God. All men know these things about God. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. I think that line would best go with verse 5 rather than 4, but this is the verses in the Psalms usually marked out by the structure, so we'll leave it there. But we see that this, the firmament, the heavens, the things that God has laid up out there have gone out throughout the world and shown man things about God. And in them he has set a tabernacle, or a dwelling for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoices like a strong man to run his race, from one end of the heavens to the other, nothing's hidden from its heat. Now there's a few things that we can look at in here. We can take this strictly literally, where the sun is just seen as the greatest of the things in the firmament. In the skies, we see the sun as light coming down, where nothing on earth is hidden from its heat, where all things are seen by it, this massive, mighty thing that affects even the global warming or temperature of our climate. But also the sun that brings light, that lights up the sky, that is just a big thing to humans. In all human races and all human nations, the sun is seen as life itself, and if it's gone, there is no life. You could take that a little bit further and think of how great the sun is, how mighty it is, and how nothing can live without it. And then remember, this is just one small part of the creation that God has made. If this is one small part of God's creation, how much greater is the God who has made it? I mean, the sun is a pretty massive and impressive thing. I mean, if any of you have ever looked into it or studied it or anything, you know it's pretty darn impressive. But it's not much compared to God. It's almost nothing compared to the God that has made it. But even further, if we look at some of the imagery seen elsewhere, especially in Psalm 84, which we'll be singing later, the sun is seen as an aspect or a type or some sort of metaphor for the Savior as well. That as He goes throughout the world, and as He is above all things, life is given by His work as well. Now there's some who would see in these two verses they'll see a similarity to some of the pagan worship or sun worship. Or they'll look and they'll see that this looks like Baal or Baal, who was seen as the sun god as well as the god of storms. But that's not what this is, or that's not where it comes from. Rather, they borrowed from the true religion and the imagery seen in Scripture. So we've got this idea now that all of the world knows some things about God. They know that He exists, they know His power, they know His creation. All of the world, if they're being honest with themselves, knows that there's something bigger than themselves. All of the world knows that there is a God. And that leads into this middle section here that seems to be unrelated, but it's not at all. Because once we accept as a given or a presupposition that there is a mighty creating God, now we see that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, the testimony is sure, making wise the simple. The things that we see in nature are enough to know that there is a God, but not enough to know who He is and how to serve Him. We see that the statutes of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. They enlighten the eyes. The commands of the Lord are pure. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That all the things of God to the one who loves Him, His acts, His characteristics, all of these things are blessings. All of these things are things worthy of worship. All of these things bring light, happiness, and joy to the believer. Yes, these are more to be desired than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. But moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Now, of course, the other side of that is that in breaking them there is great punishment or judgment. So now we have the knowledge all over the world that there is a God, and we see that to follow this God, to serve this God, we require more than that. We need His Word. And why is that? Because, in the next two verses, who can understand His errors? Who knows what He's done and whether what He's done is right or not without the Word of God? Now, we can know that we are sinners, but we can't know that we are righteous without God's Word. Cleanse me from secret faults and keep your servant back from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. We see here the believer relying on God's Word now to be able to understand and to serve God. And the final verse, and this is a verse that we should all be very familiar with, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Now, it wouldn't be too hard to take this and turn this psalm as one of Jesus speaking. But I don't think that's the best interpretation of it. I think that here the Christian is told to progress from the pagan understanding that there is a God to knowing who and what God is through the Scriptures. And after that, knowing God, knowing that He is good, knowing that He's good to His people and that He is to be desired, and that all these attributes of God are things that we are to look for, and that we are then to rely on Him both to know our ways, that we might live sinlessly, but moreover that we might be seen sinlessly, because in this last line, not only is He our strength, but He is our Redeemer. We see Jesus in this psalm as the one who applies God's Word, the one who has written it, and the one who has redeemed us, so that this middle section is us. Because think of how all these things would look to one who is an enemy of God. But that's not us. Thanks to God, and in His grace, we now are those who are acceptable through Christ. So we'll sing now Psalm 19, and we'll sing the first part, 19a.